Josh Marshall of Talking Points, define this moment when General Wesley Clark enters the field.
Well, I think it's both a very big deal for the Democratic race. At the same time, it's a huge unknown. Obviously, there is a long history in this country of generals getting into presidential races. Arguably, it goes back to the very first president. Certainly, it goes back to Andrew Jackson. There's all sorts of examples of it through the 19th century and so forth. But Wesley Clark isn't a Colin Powell. He's not a Dwight Eisenhower. He's still largely unknown. A lot of people are projecting things onto him. But he has a lot of things that Democrats could use, the obvious being, a sort of undeniable bona fides on national security issues. And the way the race he is coming into is one where one candidate obviously has all sorts of momentum and all sorts of excitement, but he's definitely coming from sort of one part of the Democratic Party. That's Howard Dean, or at least he's perceived that way. And a lot of other mainstream candidates are going absolutely nowhere. I think it's possible he could quickly undercut most rationales for those other candidates even being in the race.
Which ones?
John Kerry, Joe Lieberman, Edwards, possibly Gephardt, although Gephardt has a sort of another leg to stand on because of his being from the Midwest, having a lot of union support, so forth. And I think a lot of those other candidates. But I think the way the race looks right now is you clearly have the insurgent candidate. That's Howard Dean. It's hard to precisely, classify him in left-right terms, but he's certainly the tonalities of his campaign are appealing to sort of the activist, left-leaning part of the Democratic Party. And I think at least a lot of Dean supporters I know disagree with me, but that there is a niche to be filled, sort of a more centrist niche, someone who's not kind of part of the Democratic establishment in D.C., for which there's a lot of disenchantment, with grassroots Democrats. So across the board, I think it's possible this could quickly become a Dean Clark race. It's also true that it could sort of sputter and not move anywhere. So very much an unknown, but I think it certainly has the potential to just turn the whole race upside down.
So President Bush calls in Karl Rove and he says, I want the skinny, Karl. We got a Yaley doctor, almost my class, people-powered Howard, and a general that everybody in the Pentagon knows. Are we in trouble? What's going on? Is this serious?
I think the president is in a fair degree of trouble, quite apart from either of these candidates. The most recent polls have him just over 50%. I mean, I think, to be fair, any president who is polling anything over 50%, I think, is doing no worse than okay. I mean, half of the population approves, but it's just 50%. That's right on the edge, and things on the economy and in Iraq don't seem to be going in a particular, great direction. I don't think it's exaggerating to say his polls are pretty close to in free fall at the moment. He was up around 70, a couple months ago, and now he's down around 50. With Clark, I think there are a few potential liabilities that Clark has. He was not universally popular in the United States Army. So you will have other members of the officer corps coming out and criticizing him.
So what's the knock going to be? That he's a throwback to the no casualties military?
I don't think it's so much that. I think that he was, people have different ways of reacting to very smart, very ambitious people. And I don't know anybody who doesn't think both of those things about Wesley Clark. And I think if you look at the way his career developed and how he advanced, it was a number of key people, John Shalikashvili, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the early 90s, being one of them, kind of saw him and said, this is a standout. I'm going to, kind of push him up the ladder. But not the kind of person in the kind of the good old boy network in the Army, as it were. Mm-hmm. More of a star, more of probably someone who
knows it.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows how smart he is. So kind of a, in the colloquial, a bit of a smartass maybe. Mm-hmm. And some people thought that. He was in essence fired from his last command.
Right.
He was Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, and he was relieved a few months before his tour was supposed to be up. And for a career military man, that's that's a real humiliation. And I think Clark has been, you know, open about that. What happened there is he played a very decisive role. I mean, he was a commander during the Kosovo War, but really shaped it. He didn't always have patience with the Joint Chiefs, did a lot of kind of his own diplomacy with the heads of state in Europe, and he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in the Army. And when he was in a moment of vulnerability, when the war was over, they got rid of him. So there's those issues. Some people say he's testy, he's a little impatient, or stuff like that. So there's things like this that his enemies will take a run at him with, and it'll either stick or it won't stick. You know, the other thing is, though, if they don't, I mean, what Bush and Rove certainly have to worry about, and obviously this is, I guess, obvious to everybody, is that the president is not going to kind of ride to the re-election on the economy. Maybe coming back, but it's not the kind of thing that he's going to be able to seriously run on. It's national security. It's defending the country against terrorism. It's going to be much, much harder to make the, you know, is so-and-so going to keep you safe when that person was a four-star general in the U.S. Army? I guess that goes without saying, but just strategically, it's potentially a perfect storm for the president, but, you know, year away, year in politics, all those cliches.
Josh Marshall, you made an interesting point this morning that the way the press handles him could be critical. I wonder. Doc Searle says it's all about how he fits with the web. What did you mean by the boys on the bus judgment here?
Well, I've had a number of people write me emails and react as though what I meant was sort of to endorse that's a good thing. I frankly think that's a terrible thing, having seen basically what happened throughout the 1990s. But I did see what happened to Al Gore, and there were he ended up getting more votes, but at the end of the day, he's not in the White House right now. And there are various reasons for that, but I think a significant reason for that is that the D.C. press corps did not like the guy. It's just a reality. So I think that.
Well, I wonder. I grew up in the Washington press corps with the opposite rule. It was known as the Bob Shogan rule, for Bob Shogan of the L.A. Times,
mm-hmm,
who said,
mm-hmm,
the candidate that the reporters love is a loser. I would worry a little bit on Howard Dean's behalf that the kind of the fashionables have already fallen almost too deeply in love with him.
I think that is partially right. I'm not sure you want to be necessarily loved or hated by the D.C. press corps. You know, John McCain is a good example.
Of course.
Reporters, just ate him up. They loved him, and he's not president either. I guess I would point to George W. Bush as an example of, I think, what you want ideally from the press, which is them not to maybe think great things about you, but not get the sort of, I think what happened with Clinton and to some extent Gore is it became very personalized. And in some ways that's because you have similar bios with these people. And, with Bill Clinton, you had all sorts of convoluted baby boomer self-loathing worked into that relationship and stuff. So I agree with you. I think the press darlings have their own problems. But if the press gets the idea that you're a trimmer, that you're, a fast talker.
Smarter than they are.
Yeah, all these different kind of things. I just think that, that can be a big liability, and especially for a candidate like Clark, who, we're talking about Clark, the blogs are all talking about Clark, but, the vast majority of the American people have as good as never heard of the guy. So they're gonna kind of meet this guy in the next month. So, and again, as unfortunate as it is, a relatively small number of people in this town, depending on how the sort of the gut sense they get of him, that'll make a difference.
Josh Marshall, this is interesting. I'm tickled to hear the voice of Talking Points, which I read religiously. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
We'll do it again.
Okay, great.
Farewell, Josh.
Bye-bye.